Good morning, family. Welcome to the Big Bapper Frank Show. In the morning, we are changing it up because we need something a little different. So y'all got Big Bap in the morning. Because there's some things we need to talk about, family. We just can't let everybody keep having our narrative. We can't let the minority have a louder voice because they think because they have social platforms and they have places that they can speak from that they now get to go back out and reshape our narrative. So no. I told y'all there was going to be changes in season two. So with season two, we now have Big Bap in the morning. So we will be going out getting interviews and working. We will be doing what we need to do to make sure that we bring you pertinent information that is important about your day. Because we need fundamental change in the United States. People can say that it doesn't need to happen. But today I'm going to shape the argument of why fundamental change needs to be done in the United States. Because if you're not educated on the points and the plights that's being made about you and your community, then you are the problem, because you can't say that you're fixing the problem if you don't understand where the problem comes from. So Big Bap and Friends in the morning, we're guaranteed to bring you everything that you need right here to get you ready for the arguments, the fights, the bickering, the battle that's going to go back and forth. Because you have to know first, you are not the problem. You didn't create the problem. Systemic racism has been the problem in the United States since the beginning, the dawn of man, the dawn of time. Like, let's bypass everything that everyone's going to say. Because they're going to continue to tell you progress, and there's no more progress under the system. The system needs a fundamental rehaul, because when you look at what this country, this nation, has given everybody else but its black citizens, I can't continue to fight for the LGBTQ fight when it still hasn't taken care of its black community. I can't still fight for the religious freedoms of this nation when it hasn't still taken care of its black issue. I can't get behind the women's coalition because at the end of the day, our black women are still black. I keep telling people, go look at the laws that was written for Jamestown. Because contrary to popular belief, black people were in this country before white people got here. There's a group of people that traveled this earth called Moors. There's a group of people who traveled this earth called Vikings. There's groups of people who have traveled already and seen these places that people want to come claim as new, like, oh, I claimed America. I claimed Mexico. I claimed Canada. I claimed Haiti. I claimed Dominican Republic. I claimed Brazil. You look at all the stuff that they've named in their honor off the backs of the indigenous people everywhere they have ever gone to. See, dark skinned of that indigenous population has always gotten the short end of the straw. Go look at India's population and go look at what's going on with the light skin and the dark skin. Go look at Australia and what Australia had to do with this original people of that land. See, quit telling me that we have to get in line and fight for something and fight for scraps at the table. And people have to keep telling me that it's okay to be okay. No, you want to change your system. And while we say systematic racism, stop talking to white people and sit down with nothing but black people in the room and write your now racism policy. Let them tell you what they no longer want to deal with in your company. Go to every department and sit down with every black employee in your company and find out what's going on in your company, because there is systemic racism in every company, in every department, in every country. In the United States, we're putting you on notice first, since y'all are the leaders in getting things right. We tout that motto. We wear that like a bumper sticker. See, let me explain to y'all something. Y'all got to go look at words. See, I've been telling people for a long time, words matter. See, let me give you a systematic word that was used against you in a statement. Donald Trump stood on national television and said, MEGA stands with black America. He said African Americans, but black America, right? So let me help you. Let me educate you. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you want to add anything, 563-999-3090 is the live call-in number. Feel free to come and talk to me, because I'm not in this by myself. 563-999-3090 if you want to come in and join the conversation. Because, see, people need to understand, I've lived in North Carolina where I'm from. I've lived in Tennessee and Kentucky, where my mother moved us to in high school. I've lived in Germany. I've lived in Dubai. I've lived in Iraq. I've lived in Kuwait. I've lived in Kosovo. Not, oh, I was there for a couple of days and I breezed through. No, I went out and I studied the culture around me. I didn't go talk to the people that they put on TV in America that tells you they got the rights and the knowledge on it. No, I want to talk to the people, the culture, walk the streets. Hey, tell me what happened here. Because this is your culture. But let me help y'all. Where America ships landed and was founded, and all the land that they could actually do something with, because you got to understand once you got past North Carolina, Virginia, you started getting really strong into your mountain region, Appalachian Mountains, that runs up. So what they decided was, you know what, going right across here, it's going to take us some time to get that. But all this land down here, bro, we got to do something with this. This is land ready to go. We can come in here, we can knock this down with some elephants and some trees. And what are we going to put? Oh, bro, we got this land. We can get into the trade, because you got to remember, let's go listen to the trade during that time. Do you know what the number one traded material was? Cotton. You know where cotton's most indigenous to before the United States? Africa. They took a domestic product, brought it here, told you was going to come over here and be good. Told us about all the resources and minerals of the land. They sold it. Baby, they sold us the American dream, and then they got here and said, oh, let me put shackles on your feet, your hands, and your neck. See, people got to understand. Go back and talk to the original people. The original people will tell you, yes, they went. They went willingly. Go talk to your original brother. We left willingly because they sold us a great dream, and they packed those boats. See, people don't understand, when you go back and you talk to your people and you hear people talking about, man, once we found out what was going on, we would rather jump off the boat and die in the water than go across that ocean, because we knew what that meant. Because word got back. Word got back. And I'm not telling anybody to be upset with the fact that word got back. And we chose to no longer go. This is why it was so hard for Africans to keep deciding to come. When America opened back up its doors, when there was so much war-torn stuff going on in Africa, and America opened up its doors, Africans were petrified, because over the years, the millennia of things that have gone on from Africans Coming to America that still comes on to this day. Look at what happens in our sports programs. Look at basketball. Look at the Africans who get railroaded in the part of a program that's designed by agents. The promise of a great education. And then these athletes get railroaded. Africans who want to come over and be the next Dikembe Mutombo. But then you go into city after city after city and you see situations such as eminent domain. You go into big city after big city after big city and you see the original community that was there and is now uprooted and it's a shell of itself because the government and the powers that be say, you know what? I'm going to take what's mine. Because guess what? At the end of the day, we conquered it. We own it. And that is a reality that every African American has to face every day. Man, we're going to take a quick commercial breakout because we got so much to uncover. Because I don't want y'all to think that this is a one-sided story. We're going to talk to other people because y'all need to hear every side of these stories. Because there are some things that if you don't understand the plight of every person, if you don't understand the plight of every single person that is on this planet and understand that there is a cry out for help. Understand that there is a cry out from help from all sides. Then the only thing that you're doing in this situation is you're being so selfish to yourself. You're being so selfish to everybody around.
We don't have to worry about no money to have us a real good time. And we don't have to live in the morning, the whole day just you and I. And it don't have to get any better, it's perfect, you in my life. If you're cool, then I'm cool, then we're cool. We don't have to worry about no groceries. We can fill up on our belongings. If we ain't got enough for a movie, we can just sit at home. And just have a little roleplay, baby. Whatever friends you want. If you're cool, then I'm cool, then we're cool. If you're cool, then I'm cool, then we're cool. Quit your worrying, baby. Oh, 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 oh. Quit your worrying, girl. You don't have to worry no more, baby. Quit your crying, lady. Oh, hey, it's not right. We ain't conquer the world. Pack a little love for the evening.
Listen, y'all. Let me phrase something for y'all before I bring this person on because I need to give y'all some backdrop because I need y'all to have reference. Because see, so many times we talk about things and people have no reference point of where it comes from, right? So a friend of mine last night got on Facebook and they commented on a post of mine and they really thought that what they said offended me. And I was like, I'm not offended. Like, nothing about what you said to me was offensive. Because for me, being your friend, I understand what you've gone through. Because here is a fair-skinned person that when you hear their background, when you hear everything that they come from, you hear their credentials. And for my friend to call me and tell me that a black person spit in their face, and I'm like, wow, in the store. All they were trying to do was buy some paint because they're a strategic partner of mine. This is a friend who not only became a friend, but became like a family member. And we begin to do business together and we build a relationship. And I know what this person stands for. When I want to sit down and I want to have an intimate conversation about the history of a strain of tea, I can have a conversation with this friend because we understand the importance of drinking the best product of tea out there if you're going to use tea for revitalization. So we have these conversations. This is a person that when they got some dry tea from Asia, and they was like, hey, best friend, I got some vacuum sealed tea that you need. Second best friend, I got some tea that I need to send to you. I got a care package for you with the tea for you and the wife. I got some stuff for the baby, and I got some stuff that I need you to look at for the business. This is a friend. This is a close-knit friend. I've sat in their living room. This lady can cook better than most women I know. But she gets treated like a white woman every time she steps out the house. So y'all give it up for my second best friend. What a new second best friend.
Hey, Bab, how you doing this morning, love?
Man, it's good, man. I had to get you on the show because I needed you to understand. I understood the energy and the plight that you were arguing with, because when a person looks at you, but before we get into that, give first of all, I want you to give your full disclosure of your heritage, your ethnic groups that you belong to, right? Do that first. Then I want you to give your commercial skills, what you do for a living or what you are capable of doing for a living, right? Before we have this conversation, because people need to understand how the two are very different. So go. First, give me your heritage.
My heritage, I'm a mutt. So my family is Sicilian or Romani. I am also, if you look at my genetic markers, I am everything. I am 20% African, and then everything else is just all mixed up. So,
because here's why that's important. What most people who've never been to Italy don't understand is Lower Italy is where blacks basically came into Italy at. Sicily, Italy. Your lower parts of Italy is where all your black people came into. So usually that's, if you go to Italy, they'll tell you Upper Italy is pretty much all white. Lower Italy is more dark skinned. Is that not true?
No, that is correct. And actually there is a lot of bigotry when it comes to Sicilian people. Northern Italians consider Sicilians trash because we are very, very dark skinned. We have very coarse hair.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to Italy, where are your best fruits and vegetables at?
Oh, always in the South. Always.
Wow, imagine that. And here's what people are missing, and this is why I said, y'all gotta understand, there are people who are indigenous to Africa who by way their people migrated and had some babies somewhere else, and they've been treated like mutts all their life, and they're ostracized because they don't get the respect that they should get from this side, because they still respect the side that comes from this side. And I keep telling people, stop looking at everybody in a vacuum, because there are a lot of hurt people out here. Because here's what America now understands. America understands, if it actually goes out and gives all of its black citizens, if it says, if you show DNA markers to being this percentage of black, we now have to give you reparations. If they just decided to do that, because let me paint you a picture, America, that people don't understand. The Jewish community thrives in the United States, does it not? The Jewish community thrives in the United States, but the Jewish community also has a trust with the government for all Jewish assets that every Jewish person gets a check from annually. Am I wrong?
No, you are not.
So here's the thing. So the government is telling me the community that they consider to be the smallest community in the United States that only makes up 13% of its population can't get a trust like the Jewish community. Because that's what they say about us, right?
That is a lie. You know that is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie.
I need people to understand. Native Americans also have a trust, do they not?
Oh, yeah, they get a check every month.
Every month. Why? Because it's easy for them. I'm gonna tell people like what most people don't realize. Most Native Americans got a rap sheet for being drunk in public, disorderly.
Yeah, they do.
Most of them. Why? Because they ain't got shit to do but drink.
Yeah, and for them, it's a genetic marker and it's a genetic weakness. They cannot handle alcohol, and that's nothing against my brothers and sisters of the Native descent. It's just, that's like saying, hey, I'm predispositioned for cancer, so I try and stay away from stuff that would give me cancer. So, but yeah, they ain't got no time. They got nothing but time but to drink.
My wife is my wife has polycystic kidney disease, right? Let me show you why that's important for people who don't understand why I don't move the same way everyone tells me I need to move, right? My wife has polycystic kidney disease, but it is also hereditary in her family, right?
Yeah.
Because it's already hereditary in her family and my wife already suffers for it, guess what? My daughter is already polycystic kidney disease diet in our family. I'm already working on hers. She will always know how to eat according to her body. I will ensure if nobody else understands it, I will educate my baby on you have to understand your body because number one, this is already a young lady. You're a young lady. A lady has to be educated on her body because guess what? That lady carries the next generation. Yes, I have boys. I had to prepare my boys different. My boys, I had to teach them how to be men because I don't care what you say. I don't care how effeminate a man ever is. There is a moment in time where a man just has to be a man.
And that's not wrong, Beth. That is, you know what? That's like saying cats and dogs, they're wrong for being different. That's not wrong. A man is built different than a woman, and they do different things. We are genetically predispositioned to do different things. That does not take away the power from a woman. That does not take away a power from a man. That you should celebrate the differences because we all bring something different to the table, and together our differences make us stronger, not weaker.
And people keep trying to use the racial divide. And I said, y'all have to understand this point right here in America. And this is the point I've been trying to get people to understand. It's not about saying we're dividing up America because black people have never looked for divisiveness. We've never been the party of divisiveness. We've always been the kumbaya, sit by the campfire. If you love me, I love you. But if you do something to me, I'll punch you in your face.
Yep, and like I told you, everybody's got a place at my table. Everybody has
a
place at my table and a place at my home.
Everybody, because, but what people don't understand is, and this is why, okay, so before, you know what, we're going to take a quick break because you know what, I want to get into part B of this conversation. I need to get into part B of this conversation because a lot of people don't understand. It's like when you are having a conversation, there are some parts of the life that you have to that you have to get right. And so in order to get this right, I have to get it right because I have to introduce a second part of this show. So let's go. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, guys, and we'll be right back. Turn up. One of them, two of them, three of them, I don't really want them. We got three of them, we got four of them, even more of them, I don't really drive them. Then we one of them, then we one of them. Mr. Pin and the Globe and dance over the door and tackle up on my wine up for me. Miss Santa Tall back against the wall. I know she's not climb up for me. It's kind of like a tricky young chicken, no thingy, but you're supposed to time is up for me. The way the girl white is like the breeze of blow, but they are not the sunshine on me. You don't see why my girl does he wine. You don't see why my girl does he wine. You don't see why my girl does he wine. You don't see why my girl does he wine. You don't see what my girl does he wine. You don't see what my girl does he wine. Hey, listen, guys, we are back on Big Bap in the morning. Listen, if you guys want to contribute to what we're doing, if you want to help get our message out here, our platform, I am opening it up so people can get their voice out. We can make things stronger than what it's ever been. So listen, any funds that you want, earmark them on, go to $LUXURIAFC1 in the notes section. put Big Bap in the Morning, Big Bap and Friends, or DJ's Roundtable. That money will be earmarked for our production and promotional company that goes out and does all of our live broadcasts, our live media, and our on-spot location, our news sections, our all of our different sponsorships. So if you want to do anything with that, if you just want to donate, go to $LUXURIAFC1 on Cash App. If you want to look for other ways that you can get involved with us, go to DJsRoundtable19@gmail.com. Again, that's DJsRoundtable19@gmail.com, and you can talk to our production manager on how you can get involved with our movement going forward. Again, so if you want to reach out to the show right now, because we are live, questions, you have input, you got anything that you want to add, the number is 563-999-3090. Again, that's 563-999-3090. So, Second Best Friend, let me get back to you right quick, because I wanted to set this scene so people could understand. This is not just some crazy ass person who has no ties to the black community. Like, people have to understand, systematic racism is systematic racism, and it is a world problem. And we have to fix it in the United States if America is ever going to be a world leader on systematic racism. This is why other countries laugh at America when it goes and be a bully around the world, but then it comes home to its black soldiers and its black everything being disrespected. Because what people don't understand is when you go back home, when you're from the black or poor community, what you get is not the same as what everyone comes back home to when they come from Colonel Johnson's family, who was a plantation owner since 1914 or 1812 or whatever. Because what they did was, in every country, what they did was they said, ooh, let's put together this nice system. See, it started based off in England. They put together this nice system called the Fair Tax and Trade Commission. What they came up with was, oh, you know what would be real good? You know how we could take ownership of all this? Let's go ahead and take ownership at the patent office. If we own the rights of it, if we own, because see, we no longer own the rights of the slaves, so now we must own the rights of everything else. That's why they teach black folks all the time.
Yeah, you own the rights to an idea, you own the idea.
Yeah, you own the rights. If you just own the rights to it, you own the idea. See, yep. So before we get into this, because now I need you, because see, a lot of people know, baby, when I tell people this is one of my good friends, this is one of my good friends. Like, I'm not finna paint y'all no story of, ooh, I know this person by way of some bullshit, right? Baby, tell them, how did we meet? You tell the quick whimsical story of how we met.
I was throwing a Halloween party, and here comes Bap rolling up, and I was dressed as Wednesday Addams, and him and I just hit it off, and we started talking, and I ended up making him a bunch of tea. So, and that is
exactly
how our friendship started. We talked about everything.
We talked about everything. And here's the crazy part. Everybody else, let me tell you, we was at a car party where everybody else was excited to play the game Cards Against Humanity. Let me tell you,
yep,
they were excited about Cards Against Humanity. And me and this beautiful, lovely creature over here, we are the two weirdest motherfuckers in here who are sitting down having a weird mind's eye conversation, talking about every damn thing from favorite shows, what do you do for a living, what are your hobbies, what are you into, tell me about your people, where are you from. We got to know each other.
Indeed.
I wasn't over here like, you know, because in order for a black person to pretty much have a conversation with a cute white man that got money, let's call it a spade a spade. In order for a person of ethnic color to talk to a man, she either got to be one of two things. She either got to be financially enough to be on his level, or sexual enough to be on his level. Those are the only two black women that get to talk to him.
No,
we're
that's
talking
for
about
anyone. Like, that's for any woman. And
I ain't
the most beautiful in the room, but I got my personality and I got spirit. And that's
because see, here's what people don't understand. We're supposed to be inclusive on people who look. We are in. From the last time I checked, we have been inclusive on weird for a while.
Oh yeah.
So don't tell me that you ugly, but you got personality. Because we've been inclusive on weird for a while. But when I tell you I'm looking at somebody play Wednesday Addams, and I'm like, damn, she pulled that off. Like people don't understand. I am a cosplay enthusiast. Like, and here's the crazy part. Because I hate my weird shaping body, because I can't do everything that everybody else wants to do, because I have a football player's cross country body. It's weird as shit, because people look at me and they say, bro, you're a body anomaly. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of played all the sports. So I was a gymnast.
Yeah,
I was a runner.
I'm really on that. So, because
I was weird.
I'm short, but
I'm
weird
shape.
Right, so I'm looking at you, because here's the thing.
Here's what people missed about this. You wasn't just no weird looking Wednesday Addams. Like, you were Wednesday Addams. Like, you pulled that shit off. It was sexy. I'm like, wait a minute. I gotta talk to her. And everybody going over here talking to the big black girl with the big black boobs that look like she wanna fuck everybody. And everybody over here talking to the other girl who act like she want all the attention. So when I asked her, is that the girl that got all the attention? The person that I robbed with, they was like, yeah, she get all the attention at work. I said, and she act like this? I said, yeah. And I said, they all hang out after work? She said, yeah. I said, all of them wanna fuck her. But they can't say that because then it's sexual harassment. So they keep her close, hoping for the right situation to jump off. So what people don't understand, when we talk about systemic racism, you have to understand everybody has a seat at the table because there are roles to play. And I tell people all the time, most people don't understand their role in the situation.
Yep. You are very right.
Best friend. So the second best friend. Here's why I wanted to change the narrative real quick, because now I want you to give them your credentials of who you are, what you have accomplished in their system, and what you have accomplished outside of the system. Please and thank you.
Of course. I am a retired staff sergeant from the U.S. Army. I am a certified credentialed respiratory therapist. I have had the honor and pleasure of being a platoon sergeant and having entrusted to me over 40 soldiers at a time. That is what I have accomplished in the system. So outside the system, grounder extraordinaire. I can build you just about anything you want. I can cook you a meal. I can build you a home. I can engineer electronics. I can work on a vehicle. I can do plumbing. You name it. Oh, and I can garden. I can garden. I can sew. I can do leather working. You name it, I can do it.
So second best friend. How long did it take for me to find out all that information about you?
A couple hours.
Okay. Now, second best friend.
You're still finding stuff out about me.
Yeah, because that's because what people don't understand, that's her cover sheet. Like, for those of y'all that's in business, that's your cover sheet letter. When you're going out here putting yourself on the market as an entrepreneur, that's your cover sheet. Not for your job.
Second best friend. Yeah. As an entrepreneur, I specialize in logistics, acquisition of needed goods, materials, and services.
You better talk to them.
Yeah.
Because it's a game. And we have to get so world versed at every level of the game just to have an equal playing field at any job that we go to. Because, baby, guess what? Any person that you got right now, any black person you got in any job in America, I guarantee you, all your white staff can call out today and your black staff will go in there, have a team huddle, and they run that shit better than every white person you got sitting in there. If you don't believe me, do a trial test run and see how smooth it come out. I tell you right now, once you come back and see what everybody is doing, make that their permanent position and let them train the dummies you got around you.
It's one
because
of those.
Y'all don't understand. We are the ones who write your SOPs. We are the ones who go out. We are the ones who go out and show leadership in the community and show people how to go start a business. We are the ones who go show them that farming and raising your own crops is important to your own community and your own health if you don't believe it. We are the ones who tell you that you need to travel so you can educate yourself and so you can get a global perspective of what's happening in a microcosm in your atmosphere. Because, baby, we have been places.
One of my best friends from Thailand has a saying, and this is what I tell all of my friends. I tell my children this too. You never try, you never know.
That's funny. You know what my favorite foreign statement is? Because here's the thing. Everybody wants to tell me that they're so religious when I come here, because you got to understand the South is considered the Bible Belt. See, what people didn't understand that was symbolic about what President Trump did. He enabled a type of legislative writing that comes out of the Republican Party anytime that the Bible is mentioned when it comes time to enact force or get people in control. They've been doing that all the way since slavery and Jim Crow.
It was symbolic. One thing that you got to touch on too, second best friend, and it's not just the black community that suffers. Do you know what the first community of slaves in America was? They were
Italian. Irish and
no,
Italian.
They were Irish.
Yes.
Yeah, Irish and Italian. And that is one thing that that is forgotten. That and part of my heritage, the gypsy, because I'm Roma too.
Uh-huh.
So we're considered trash anywhere you go.
Anywhere you go. Listen,
anywhere,
let me tell y'all
something. Go in this world,
some of the most beautiful, some of the most beautiful people come out of Roma and the Romanian area of history. We go look up Romania and Roma and see how they're connected, and then travel your history all the way back to Africa and where they and look at how they've been mistreated because they're considered a gypsy people. So no one will even consider giving them a home because they believe in traveling the land for the land. So they had to learn how to get themselves into the system. They had to give up their entire culture because they could not get any help anywhere they went on the planet because gypsy as a people just considers traveling. So no, why should we give a traveler? Because you own nothing here. Yes, that's the system that they come from. And I keep telling people, when you don't understand the system that is cultivated for you to play a part in, but that same system tells you you're not good enough because understand, there are poor people who are poor because they chose to start loving black people in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
You better go look at some of your bigger communities that got poor white people in it. We ain't talking about your backwoods because they ain't poor. They got trust fund babies. We talking about go to your big cities. And some of those people who decided to love black and went back home, they had to stay in that big city. There was no going back home for them.
Yeah, second best friend, my beloved, my senpai, grew up poor. He grew up, when I say poor, he grew up poor. Like ghetto style poor. And he
See, you gotta understand. That's Chicago. In the South we say poor.
Oh yeah, no, that's Chicago.
Ain't no R on that baby in the South. That's in the South, that's just po. That's all you get, po.
Yeah.
Not even the R.
Yeah, that's what
we can't afford the R. In the South, the R is too expensive. Because here's the thing. Because see, if we put the R on it, then we have to look at racism.
Yeah, you are right. You are right.
If we put the R on poor in the South, understand people, we have to address racism. So we just rather be poor. We rather take people, opportunities, outlet. That's all we focus on. Our people, opportunities, outlet. We poor. POO. People, opportunities, outlet. That is it. That is our mission every day. Because we can't afford the R.
Yeah.
We're not dignified enough to get the R addressed.
Well, yeah, you are right.
Because let me tell you something. Every business in the United States that submits a loan application to the bank has to present something called a SWOT analysis. It's called strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And let me tell you something. If a black person ever put racism as a threat in that box, they would never fundamentally get a loan.
You are right.
But when that loan gets pre-approved because their names look like Denzel Washington and their names look like Jamal Malcolm Wilkes, And you see what I'm saying? When we've gentrified ourselves enough to get in the system, and then we get in front of you, then you tell us, oh, you don't meet the cultural criteria of what we're looking for.
That is bullshit, and that is the system designed to keep all people down. It is the rich getting richer. Okay, I said I was military. You know this. I just retired May 1st.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I'm 100% disabled, medically disabled.
Mm-hmm.
I got a here. Thank you for your service. Get the fuck out.
Yep.
Because understand.
For people who don't understand, her fight in the military as a woman, period. I'm not even going to make it about color. As a woman, period, her fight in the military, I can tell you, I was there, and I'm sitting here listening to her, and I'm listening to my friend who says people are calling her racist because she's upholding AR-670-1. But AR-670-1, as a principle, is slighted towards the black community.
Mm-hmm.
The standards in that code book is really 1920s white America. So you're telling me that we're still built like 1920s white America?
Nope.
The average body type in America. Please, I want people to understand the height, weight, and tape disproportionately gets black people in trouble because height and weight standards are 1920s standards, and you telling me that Quisha, with all them hips, that can still do the 2 mile, the sit-ups, and the push-up, fails weight and tape because her hips her neck are bigger?
I did every time. In my 15 years in the military, I never made weight. Just to give everybody a little bit of perspective.
And they think you're white. And here's the thing. They think you're white. Give them your measurement.
I am 5'2.5". My measurement was my hips were 41 inches. My waist was 29. My neck was always a 13. I've had 2 breast reductions, and I'm still a 34 double D, almost above.
Hold on. Second best friend, because people think I lie when I say this. Did I not tell you what your breast size were on site?
Yes, you did.
Because people think I'd be making that up when I say
bra.
It.
You said I didn't have no boobs. And then I'm like, okay, hold up. Let me go put a bra on. You'll actually see what I look like in a normal bra. And I walked out and you went, damn. What are you? A double D? And I just started laughing.
Gave her the measurements on site because I'm like, wow. Because if you would have saw the outfit that I saw her in, I'm like, damn. But then when she told me, she said, baby, I had that thing pressed down so good and so tight up under here. She was like, you got to check out my corset collection. I was like, corset collection? She was like, yes, I got all types of stuff in here. And we went through her closet. See, y'all don't understand. We became friends. Now, let me tell you something. I can talk to you about the history of anything. Now, bitch, if you want me to go shopping, you better find another friend.
That's fine. That's what Amazon's for. Come on now.
Exactly.
See me in a mall? Yeah, hell no.
And so here's what people didn't understand. See, let me help people understand. See, when I created every business that I ever created, I want to talk to all my friends first. I say, hey, friends, I'm trying to do this endeavor. Can you invest? All my friends was like, hey, bro, I ain't got the money, but hey, I can help you out here. I can support you there. I can share your stuff here. I can buy some this from you for this. Because what people don't understand is, I'm a full-time entrepreneur, but I still have to maintain a job because at the end of the day, we are disproportionately at a disadvantage because guess what? If our community don't support us first, we will never get their ear to give us a platform to give us money for it.
You will never get nowhere. And actually, that brings up a good topic. It brings up a good topic about this bullshit that's going on here. And that's what it is bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I want to applaud everybody out there who stopped the looters. Because that shit, fuck. You fuck up Target, you fuck up Walmart, go right the fuck ahead. Because that is owned
by
one business.
But it's the small business.
Yeah,
let me say this. Here's why I said this. Because there's 2 parts to the story. Here is a friend of mine that people assume to be white who went to a store. What store did you go to?
I went to Menards. I was trying to get some spackling.
Spackling. Because guess what? Her business, her entrepreneurial business, is building things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not only
and
that,
I had an
she
issue
just...
with...
But hold on. But hold on. Because people got to understand your plight. So not only is this person just retiring from the military, this is a 100% disabled veteran walking into the store, and she spit on in the face by someone. We don't need to get into all the details of it, because here's what I'm trying to address. I'm trying to address what people need to understand. There are anger issues on both sides. It's not about, I need people to understand the one thing that I'm trying to get people to understand. It is not about arguing about who's right or who's wrong, who's getting it right or who's getting it wrong. Number one, if you want to go after big corporations, we're for that. As minorities, understand, if you want to take your fight to the big corporations, we are for that. But you cannot beat up your mom and pop stores. And I'm not talking about franchises, Wendy's, Taco Bell, McDonald's. No. We're talking about Harold's Chicken.
My friend,
we're talking about the people who you see go down the street and in your house. Because I'm gonna tell you something, baby. If your business is in that community and you live 3 hours away, don't tell me about that community and that business. I'm sorry.
No,
don't come to me and say I'm a mom and pop. No, ma'am. So understand, if you are a minority business owner, but you ain't really black, and you come in and your business is in the hood, I'm telling you right now, in the hood, it won't be there when y'all come back. And it's not a issue of we're trying to loot and destroy. No, get up and get out is what we're saying.
Yeah,
because here's what I need people to understand. And second best friend, this is why I wasn't mad at you. And I need people to hear this. Eminent domain is a bad practice by the United States government. Period.
Oh yeah, yeah. We take your land, your goods, and give you pennies on the dollar. Yeah, that's bullshit.
That is eminent domain as a principle theory is wrong in the United States. And here's why. Because they take what's yours and give it to the government, and then they give it back away for not – most of the time they don't even give it away for government use. They give it away for government private contract use.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And so these private government companies who are getting these private government funds are exponentially growing because they got a ready-made customer that is the United States government. But mom-and-pop businesses got to go out here every day, and they got to go talk to you, John Blue, in the face to make their money. They got to do a podcast like this to make their money. They got to advertise on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, everything to make money. And they still got to pay for regular advertisement in the newspaper. They still got to pay for regular advertisement on the radio. They still got to pay for commercials for the local TV station while government comes in and says, oh, you know what? Let me push everybody out of the way and do a photo op and hold a Bible and tell everybody that in the South, because they Bible-fearing people, that they better get in line, because I will use force to end up because I'm the law and order president and I believe in the Bible.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I can tell you a lot of those troops, you think they're going to pick up arms for everything we have sacrificed and everything
we've
given?
You got troops standing out there crying because these National Guardsmen that are getting called up, that President Trump wants all these governors to enact, there's a lot of blacks and there's a lot of minorities sitting in there that's being called up, that's being forced to look at their brothers and their sisters standing on the other side crying. Because understand, they talking about it takes leadership top down. Let me tell you something. I didn't respect anything that General Allen said on CNN, and I'm a troop. I'm prior military. I'm a private.
There's a saying in the military: the army is a machine. We are all just cogs in the wheel. The army cares for no one. It is the job
for no one
and the trust of the NCO to care for their people.
That you, hold on. You swore an oath that you are entrusted with the responsibility, do you not?
Yes. Oh, not just that, second best friend, because of what I do, because of what I am a respiratory therapist. I took the Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm. And now you telling me if I thank the powers that be every day that I am retired, because if you told me to pick up arms, just fucking slap the cuffs on now, because I will not pick up arms against the people I sacrificed my body for.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. There's an article of me, Stars and Stripes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me give you an old article. when people say, what do you mean by systematic racism? I have fought my entire career on making sure that I voice my opinion. And I've always been a free thinker and a free speaker. I've never let my circumstances get the best of me, ever.
Yeah. Why do you think I only got retired as an E6 when I worked job positions that of an E8 or above?
When we were in Iraq, there was a Stars and Stripes article that they were doing, right? Because there's two articles of me in Stars and Stripes. For people who don't know, I started my music company that I had while I was in the military. I did all my touring overseas because I was already overseas. It was easy. I just started in Europe, built everything, and hey, didn't take long for me to be where I needed to be because we had real talent. Like, I didn't have to come back to the United States, but I chose to. I tell people all the time, my music was in Europe. I did music with Drama Monks. Drama Monks has did scores for Disney. Drama Monks is the studio that Wu-Tang used to go use when they were in Germany. And these are two white boys, but they were technologically great. They sat down and they talked. Man, they taught dudes from Wu-Tang so much, and we sat down with them. These dudes were amazing. We got a song with them called Hollywood Magic that we killed. That was Drama Monk.
I know.
That was. So I'm telling people, I'm like, please miss me. I know what I've done. I don't need people to tell me about my record. I went out there and I did it for myself. I'm self-made. Nobody's ever given me anything. I'm self-made. For the first time in my life, becoming a new father to a daughter, I'm learning to accept handouts because I need to make sure that everything is put in place for this little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
I got to teach my
I had to prepare my boys different.
I had to prepare my boys to fight. I had to prepare my daughter to make sure she's not taken advantage of. They're different. Those lessons in the black community are different.
Yeah, they are. I mean, my family is second generation here. Second generation. My grandparents came over on a boat from Italy with a handbag that held the family Bible and a change of clothes. That is it. Second generation. My grandfather used to tell me, you know, if you want something, life doesn't owe you shit. You want something, you work for it. And that is something I've always believed.
And so here's why I wanted to do this publicly with you, best friend. Because I know you got in my inbox. And you don't even understand. I was trying to pick a moment when it would be a right time to have this conversation. And I wanted to have this conversation with you specifically because I wanted people to understand, and I needed people to hear this. Are we mad at Trina for her comments? Yes, we're mad at Trina. But Trina has an opportunity to come home to the black community, talk to us, get some stuff right. That's fine. That's one of us.
Mm-hmm.
One of you always gets an opportunity to get it right. But see, here's the thing, America. We're ready for y'all to become one of us, and we're ready for y'all to get it right with us because we have done everything that y'all ask us to do to get it right with y'all. It is time for you to take care of your minority citizens the right way, all of them, but you must get the black man right first. You must. You must fundamentally defund, deregulate, and change all things that systematically keep the black man down. And the black man has to be at the forefront of telling you what it looks like. And the black delegation gets to decide what that black person looks like. You don't get to choose a figurehead to do that for us. And
no.
We get the
and
right
it's not,
to tell you
it's
if...
Not.
And we as the black delegation get the right to tell you if what he is saying doesn't best fit our people. Not y'all.
That
not y'all
true.
System. We don't want
yeah.
y'all system. We want to be taken care of just like the Holocaust victims who died in Germany, in Europe. They didn't die in the United States, but they are taken care of in the United States. They cut a deal with Europe to take care of them in the United States. It is time for the global community to get it right for its black citizens and make it fair. Because I need people to understand we are disproportionalized around the globe. This is just as much as a pandemic here as it is around the globe. And it is time for all of this. If you tell me that you are a earth person, you should be outraged if any part of your history comes out of Africa.
So
this is what I mean by, this is what I tell people. This is why Drew Brees is missing the mark here. This is not a time for you to stand over there and say what you're saying. It's a time for you to come over here and look at it from our side and help us make regulation that best fits what we're trying to say. This is not about
yep.
playing Democratic or Republican, but the problem is
they
it's too many Republicans with the narrow mindset. We don't care about your political views. We mind your mindset. See, that's the problem with the George Ford situation. That officer was training those cops to have a certain mindset because they were on training. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been entrusted to train troops? Because I have.
Yeah. That is the number one thing you are entrusted with as an NCO.
To train
your job
troops.
As an NCO to train and lead your soldiers.
Listen, let me tell somebody. I tell anybody this. I said, I have one skill set and one skill set only. And they're like, what? I said, I can walk into any building on any job. I can assess the situation and I can write an SOP that'll fit every employee in here and it'll get some of the bullshit that y'all dealing with.
Yep.
It will nip 60% of the bullshit that you have in here to a bud.
Yep.
But guess what? Nobody wants to talk. Nobody wants to talk to the minority that's getting disrespected in the copy room. Nobody wants to talk to the minority that's getting disrespected at the front desk. Nobody wants to talk to the minority that's getting disrespected that's the mechanic in a shop. Nobody wants to talk to the truck driver that's getting disrespected. That's a minority. Nobody wants to talk to the plumber that is getting disrespected. That's a minority. Nobody wants to talk to the first aid responders, police, firefighters, who are proportionally getting taken advantage of. I am so thankful that I know people. I got a God brother right here who is in the upper echelon of the fire department, who he says every day, one of my biggest jobs is to make sure that there are no racial issues in my department.
Yeah, and I will tell you, if I had Interpol for every time was hinted that I earned my rank on my knees, I would be a very rich woman.
Man, listen, second best friend, I appreciate you so much for coming onto this show. I appreciate you so much for sitting down talking to me.
Always. Now, if anybody out in the Chicago area needs some help with building stuff up, give them my info. Hit me up. I will teach and I will help because that's what I try to do.
All right, baby. We're going to sit down and talk because it's almost business time and we got stuff to do. So you know we got actions. We got actions because next year we're coming back full blast, baby. So, you know, we got.
I'm ready. I'm setting it up. The work is done.
Oh, so we got to get it out there. Next year's thing, because I've already decided I'm going to do it live on the Big Bap and Friends, Big Bap in the Morning Show. So I'm going to introduce next year's Masquerade Ball. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Tell me.
So I felt with this situation that we are getting ready because we're going through a transformation. The most important thing is Mortal Kombat. It has begun.
Begun. Oh, this is going to be fun.
I love you, boo.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Love you too, second best friend. Now you got my mind working. Talk to you later, love.
All
Bye.
Right, I'm a holla.
There's no place I'd rather be. Cause nothing even matters to me. Ain't nothing even matters. Ain't nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters. Oh, nothing even matters. I'm from Tennessee. To look at you, there's nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters.
Man, that was a great show.
Nothing even matters.
Man,
that was a great show. Now you won't find me at no store. I have no time. And if yours with you, it's never either.
Man, that was a great show. Thank y'all for supporting. We're going to get back to y'all with some other stuff, man. I have worked my butt off. I got
nothing, it don't matter. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters.